This is from John Hammond's A Glass of Rich Brown Ale. Let misers turn their riches o'er and gaze on bags of gold. With my wealth they must be poor when all their treasure's told. But I have more true wealth in store and joys that never fail. Whilst friendship's shrine my cot is mine and a glass of rich brown ale. Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. Podcast about beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters. And with that, welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. This is episode 6. I'll be your host. My name is Toby from Las Vegas, Nevada. And with me, as always, is
Chris from Dallas, Texas.
And Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
All right.
Episode 6.
Yay. Yeah. So today we're doing brown ales. Technically, English brown ales, I guess, is the technical term for them. A quick little rundown of what brown ales, their kind of history. They came about around the 1700s in England. They're kind of a lighter version of porters and stouts. That's where they kind of came out of. The stouts were the stronger of the type of beers back then. Despite the success of the porters and the stouts, the milder browns have managed to survive over the years. It wasn't until the end of the 20th century that the terms brown and nut brown were actually used as terms for the style. Now, there are technically two styles of English browns. There's northern and southern, northern being a bit paler and stronger than the southern ones, but the styles are so closely related. They're so closely related that they're considered the same at World Beer Cups. So, if you like a toastier, less hoppy beer, browns and nut browns are a good style.
Yeah.
So,
excellent.
Also, in today's show, we're going to go through the fermentation conversation, and today we're all tasting the Rogue Hazelnut Brown Nectar Ale. Then we'll shoot into some hop topics, then into the tasting flight. And Chris, what are you doing today for your
I am doing tasting? Abita's Turbo Dog Brown Ale out of Louisiana.
I'm going to do Brooklyn Brewery's Brown Ale out of Brooklyn, New York.
And I'm doing Lost Coast Downtown Brown. They're out of Eureka, California. And after the tasting flight, we'll do California. The Tweet of the Week. Do some backwash.
Then winter San Diego.
And then the last call. What about San Diego?
So is Eureka anywhere near San Diego? Which it's not, of course.
No.
Quite a ways
it's
away.
At the opposite end of the state, yeah. And I've been there.
Yeah, I'm getting really tired of hearing that. So hey, I was gonna make a little statement real quick. A lot of people may be wondering how on earth we are so up to speed on all of our beer knowledge and how of our all of our. You know,
or left,
how do we know what a brown ale is, and the fact that it was made in the 1700s? And as much as I'd like to pretend that we are just all brilliant, we've all been reading this book that we all kind of picked up called Tasting Beer. I'm breaking the fourth wall.
We drink beer and we read. That's right.
Yeah, there's a beer called Tasting Beer from Randy Mosier that is just awesome. And if you're at all interested in craft beer and really being able to analyze and taste beer with any amount of knowledge, I'd highly recommend picking it up. It's a great, great read.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to put any negative onto it, but I mean, it's something. It's like a textbook. It's something you would get in almost in school, like you were taking a class on beer, and this is the type of book that they would give you.
But it's kind of a fun
to read. That's kind of what
fun reference
but it's
guide.
A good,
you know, lots of
yeah,
but it's
illustrations
fun. Yeah, it's not. You don't feel like it's a project.
It's definitely a reference type book, but it's done really well.
Yeah.
That was my 2 cents. Thanks.
Speaking of tasting beer.
Can we drink some beer now?
Yeah. I'd like to. Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah. Since the fermentation conversation. Yeah. Okay, the fermentation conversation this week is Rogue's Hazelnut Brown Nectar.
Nectar.
Yeah. Nice. The Hazel, I'm sorry.
The Hazel?
Rogue Brewing Company is out of Newport, Oregon. They've been around since 1989. Their website is www.rogue.com, R-O-G-U-E. The style is an English brown ale. Alcohol is 6.2% by volume. And the international bittering units is 33. Although the website said 28, but the bottle says 33. So I'm going to go with a 33 on that one. Yeah. You should keep this in your fridge or in your cellar at 40 to 45 degrees, and you should serve it at 45 to 50 degrees in a pint glass or a mug.
That's a little bit colder than I would have
available.
Thought.
A what?
I said it's a little bit colder than I would have thought. I would have thought that the brown air would have been a little bit warmer, 50 to 55 or so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's available year-round, and you can find it in 22-ounce bottles or, if you're lucky, on draft.
Mm.
Now, the ingredients in this, while I get into the ingredients, you guys can feel free to start popping those. And
oh, we will.
Don't have to tell me twice.
The malts that are in here are Harrington, Clagus, Munich, Hugh Baird Brown, Karistan, Crystal, and Beeston Chocolate. And it also has Pearl and Sterling hops, and it actually has hazelnut nectar in it. Big surprise.
Didn't
there.
Know that hazelnuts had nectar.
I didn't. And it's been yeastified with Rogue's Pac-Man yeast and Free Range Coastal Water. Has won a couple awards. It got the World Beer Championship World Champ in 2007. And also in 2006, it got the gold in the World Beer Championship.
Wow.
Rate Beer gives this a 96 out of 100. And, yeah. Where's my bottle popper? Okay. Rate Beer gave it a 96. Beer Advocate users gave it an A-, and the Allstrom Brothers gave it an A. So I'm looking forward to this one.
Jeez, this has got a lot to live up to. This better be good.
It's nutty. Like, I can smell it. Like, the minute I opened that bottle, it was like, oh, hello, hazelnut.
I smell definitely some lots of yeastiness, too.
Yeah.
I just spilled some on the carpet.
It's a,
damn it.
It's a nice dark brown color.
We gotta start pouring with instead of Let's make more sense.
I got about three fingers ahead on that one.
Yeah, I got about two and a half on mine.
I only got one.
Fluffy.
Didn't pour it as aggressive as I should.
Doesn't it, man? It's like so nutty. It's like I can taste it just by smelling it.
Oh, it's got some vanilla.
Yeah.
Some real sugary. Oh, it's nuttiness. It smells like a friggin' nutty pie or something.
I can't. I'm
like, it's got whipped cream on
pass
it.
Pass me the nutty pie. What the hell is a nutty pie anyway?
For that's also pie. Trademarked by Beer Coasters Podcast.
Nutty pie. Yeah, I'm not even waiting to drink it, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, vanilla, coffee. It's all there. It's sweet.
Yeah, coffee. Definitely coffee.
But not like overly sweet.
Like some toffee in there and...
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's
good sweetness.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
It's not like super sweet, though. It's got a very good amount of sweetness. And there you can taste the hops that are doing the job bittering, too.
Did you guys talk about the color of the body at all?
I did a little bit. It's, you know, it's a pretty dark brown... It's
my brown
not as dark
brown.
As some brown ales.
Yours.
Yeah, it's got a little reddishness to it, too.
I would say, it does have
real
a tinge
clouded.
Of
decent lacing going on as I'm drinking it down. And if anybody's...
I'm really enjoying smelling this. I haven't even tasted it yet.
I couldn't wait, man. The minute I smelt it, I was like, oh, okay, taste. It's got some decent lacing going on. If anybody's curious what lacing means, you should have listened to last week's show.
Yeah, it's good.
This is awesome, man. I really like this a lot.
Really getting the hazelnut is coming through.
Good carbonation, too.
Hazelnut and vanilla.
It's kind of medium body, I would say. It's definitely not light.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's the mouthfeel and the body is not overpowering. It's actually, light and pretty smooth.
Yeah, pretty light carbonation on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Getting lots of vanilla on the sides of the tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is good. It's weird because it's kind of like a dessert beer without the being really, really sweet. It's like, mild dessert beer or something. Yeah. I don't know.
It's not as sweet as like a chocolate stout would be, but it's definitely got those sweet flavors and would definitely play off of
definitely.
Man,
it's missing any kind of that smokiness or anything that a stout would have, or that burnt,
that
burnt flavor. And
there's something else in there that.
Yeah,
it's coming through.
Well, that's what I was saying. You got something the vanilla and the coffee.
I can't put my finger on it.
It's kind of a chocolate. Like, the first sip was definitely had a chocolatey-ness to it.
Maybe, it's interesting. Maybe honey. Even
maybe?
Yeah, maybe a little honey.
Yeah.
It's interesting because even with how sweet it is, like, you kind of expect it to have sort of a syrupy feel on the mouthfeel, and I'm not getting that at all. It's
right.
It's nice and well balanced.
Really clean aftertaste.
Yeah.
It doesn't leave you with a real stickiness in your mouth. It's actually really, you could still taste the nuttiness afterwards, but it's not real thick on your tongue.
It's like, it's pretty almost nice. Like cream soda without the sweetness, I think. You know, it's got that vanilla.
Yeah, cream vanilla soda. Cream. That's a good one, yes.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. That's that mystery flavor, I think. All right.
Yeah,
I'm going to keep drinking.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what I would pair this with.
You know what I would pair this
first
with?
First thing that comes to...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say a steak. Nothing too, like, real overpowering. Nothing too peppery or spicy or anything. No. Just a real, I don't know, just some grilled meat. I don't know.
I'm a regular old steak. I'm not a big, like, pecan pie person, but this would go really good with a pecan dessert. Pie.
yeah, totally.
Yeah, I don't even know if I would pair this with anything. I know I normally do, but I think that this is just a good after dinner beer, like not during, but just totally. This is a good kind of dessert beer.
Yeah,
and I would go as far as say this is a great session beer.
Ah, yes, session beer. For those of you who don't know what session beer is.
And now time for Craft Beer Jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is session beer. A session beer is a beer with high drinkability. The purpose of a session beer is to allow the beer drinker to have multiple beers within a reasonable time period or session, without overwhelming the senses or reaching inappropriate levels of intoxication.
Beer news from across the country, this is Hop Topics.
All right, welcome to the Hop Topics section. We're going to give you some weekly beer news. Up first is Chris.
Sweet. So this week, my Hop Topic comes from beernews.org. I am talking about O'Fallon ups the ante on its cream stout. And so this is talking about a brew out of O'Fallon Brewery out of Missouri. Missouri, right? Yeah. This article was posted on June 12th, so a few days before we posted or we recorded this. According to the Wine and Cheese Place's Paul Hayden, O'Fallon Chocolate by the Barrel Cream Stout is a bourbon barrel-aged version of their Cocoa Cream Stout that is a draft only in St. Louis. Told by the owner of O'Fallon Brewery, Tom Caradonna, that it should be bottled and released 2 to 3 weeks. They're expecting about 80 cases out of the barrel. So not a whole lot of stuff coming out of this. I saw this and it just sounds so good. The fact that they're creating a chocolate cream stout aged in bourbon barrels just sounds delicious.
Yes.
So the stats on the brewery, it's a cream stout with a 5.5 ABV. Bitterness is about a 26.5, so it's a little, on the mid range.
Yeah.
They're using, let's see, what are the malts that they're using? A pale, a carafa 2, a caramel 90L, caramel 20L, which are the colors. Flaked barley, roasted barley, carapils, black, and hops are a cluster, a German Hallertau, and a Mittelfrä. Mittelfrä? I haven't heard of that. Mittelfrä. So anyway,
it's from the middle of the country.
If you can find this, it's probably only going to be available in Missouri, I would guess, close to the brewery, but it sounds awesome. And Toby, you haven't you been there?
One of my favorite stories as of late. I was in St. Louis last year in September for a wedding, and me and Gina went down. I was checking the area for breweries and stuff, and we just happened to be in the part of town. It's about a half hour outside of St. Louis, and we saw this O'Fallon Brewing Company out there, so we decided to stop by. It's just in this little tiny industrial kind of area in the middle of nowhere, and we found the brewery, went up, it's this tiny building, and we walk in the front door, and they had a little tasting area and a little office, and we asked the girl at the counter, we said, are you doing any tastings or tours today? And she said, no, we don't do them this day of the week, and I guess we didn't read far enough down the website to find out that they actually didn't do them that day. And all of a sudden, this guy from in the back of the office jumps up, and it might have been Tom. He comes running out, and he's like, you want to see the brewery? And we're like, yeah, okay. So he takes us into the brewery, and it's this tiny little place. I don't know how many barrels. I mean, very little. They're just this, that's probably an 8-man operation. They do everything by hand. They six-pack everything by hand. They bottle their 22s by hand, one at a time. And while we're going through the brewery, he introduces us to a couple of the brewers standing there, and he actually mentioned that they were working on this chocolate cream stout.
Nice.
At the time. And he takes us over to the 22 bottling, and the guy accidentally poured too much, overflowed. So what does he do? He grabs the bottle and hands it to us and says, here, you guys wanted to try this. I think it was their smoked porter. And we're like, okay.
That is so cool.
Takes us around the brewery. He gave us a six-pack of their IPA, which is their five-day IPA, which is really good. Couldn't be a nicer guy. I mean, I'm so glad that this story came up, because I've been really wanting to talk about these guys and get people interested in them, because they're a great little operation. They brew some good beers. Check them out. If you're in the St. Louis area, look for O'Fallon. I know that they actually have places, bars in St. Louis that they have their beers on tap. I think they do their own distributing too. But in the town that we went to, just outside the brewery, they actually had a couple of their beers on tap there, too. So you can find them around the St. Louis area.
Yeah, if you,
but yeah, look for
if
that.
If you want to check them out on the web, it's O'Fallonbrewery.com. I just wanted to say one thing about Toby's story. It's something that's always struck me as so cool about the craft beer community. They're so welcoming, you know, as opposed to craft brewers are so unpretentious. They're so, they just want people to be interested in craft brew. They don't care who you are, you know, what your income level is. It's just all about,
they're artists.
And I absolutely love that about craft brewing.
Yeah. It's the complete opposite, I think, in the wine industry compared to the beer industry. Yeah. It's just a bunch of people that are, you know, instantly. You feel like you're their friends, you know?
And I know, yeah. You know, there may be some wine listeners out there that are like, oh, we're not pretentious too. And I know that there's lots of people out there that drink wine and appreciate wine and are big wine connoisseurs.
Oh, I drink wine. Of course. I love wine.
I tell you what, if I offended anybody in the wine industry, they can give us some backwash. If anybody's offended by anything, yes. I say, give us some backwash and we'll use it on the show.
We'll do anything for
but backwash. Overall, as a community, the wine connoisseurs tend to be a little more uppity.
Uppity, yes. Yeah. Uppity.
So, anyway.
Well, speaking of uppity, but in a good way, listen to this. This is craft brewers look to alter opinions about beer and fine dining. This is basically all about Savor. If anybody has heard anything about that, you should go check it out. This individual article is from NewJerseyNewsroom.com, and it's in their style section. It's all about the Savor. And if anybody is not into craft beer, you have to listen to some of these food pairings with the beer. And I don't know how anybody couldn't get instantly hooked. You have a Belgian-style farmhouse saison from Amagang, paired with a coconut curried chicken skewers. You have double IPA from Colorado's Great Divide Brewing Company, paired with Moroccan spiced lamb burgers. There's wow. There's a slew of recipes that they're pairing beer with food. Allagash, their Belgian wheat beer, it's paired with passion fruit and mango mousse cups and. It goes on and on. Check out the article. Read all about Savor. It's just amazing.
And if I don't care what I have to do.
Get into craft beer with food like this, or just names like some of the names of the stuff we have: hazelnut brown and the cocoa cream, this and that. How can you not find these names appetizing and want to try this stuff? You
know? I don't care what I have to do, yeah. But next year Savor, we are going because this. I love. I mean, obviously, if you saw me, you would know that I love food. And so,
oh, come on.
But seriously, I love good food, and I mean, that's one of the reasons I got into beer was because of the artistry that goes into it, and the complexity and the skill that goes into creating a good craft beer is just it fits so well with good food that. You know, I'm surprised this didn't happen way sooner than it did.
Yeah.
But it's Savor all about is awesome.
Quality. If you like quality products, then you're going to love this stuff. I mean, quality food, quality beer, period. That's it.
If you want a good example of what
Savor... I'm not going to have a glass of champagne and a Big Mac. It just doesn't make sense.
Right. If you want a good example of what Savor is all about, the guys over at Craft Beer Radio... basically recorded all of the panels this year at the... Because Savor is basically a conference for beer and food, craft beer and food.
It was in D.C., right?
It was actually in the National Building Museum. Yeah.
Wow.
So go over to Craft Beer Radio. Check them out. I'm sure you can get to them through iTunes. I know you can get to them through iTunes. But they basically recorded all the panels... And so all of the major breweries, Jim Cook from Sam Adams, Greg Cook from Stone, Sam Caglione from Dogfish Head, they all sort of did panels about different things with food and beer and aging beer and different things. And the one by Sam Caglione, he talks about ancient ales, specifically talking about their Midas Touch Ale that we touched on a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Really, really cool stuff. Really, really interesting talks. If you're at all interested in craft beer, I recommend checking that out.
Now for my craft
hot topic.
Beer
hot news. Topic.
Hot topic. I lost my page.
It's all that food
I
talk.
Am actually doing...
it's distracting.
This is about some birthday milestones recently in Seattle specifically. Two of them. There's Pike Brewing Company out of Seattle, is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year, and they've already kicked off the year in fine style with a vertical old body barley wine tasting featuring a trio of 1990s originals brewed by Fal Allen and Kevin Foran, along with a trio of this decade's strong ales. The Pike will continue to celebrate its anniversary throughout the year, and they promoted its Monk's Uncle Belgian Style Triple from a seasonal brew to year-round availability. And also, the other milestone is Pyramid Brewing Company. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary this year. And they originally founded as Harp Brewing in Kalama, Washington. And Pyramid
is Harp
into a substantial regional.
Oh, no, Harp. I was going to say Harp is
a H-A-R-T.
Okay, cool.
Harp Brewing. They've grown into a substantial regional brewer on the West Coast with operations in Seattle, Portland, and California. They also took Mid-Sized Brewery of the Year honors at the Great American Beer Festival in 2008. And now they're operating as a merged entity with Vermont's Magic Hat. I don't know if you guys have heard about that, but Pyramid and Magic Hat, they've got this thing now where they call it the Independent Brewers United. And as far as I know, it's just the two of them so far. It's a good way to distribute their stuff cross-country. So that is it for me. And I actually got that story out of the Puget Sounding section from the Celebrator. The Celebrator magazine, which if you ever see that sitting on a shelf at your local beer bar or pub, pick it up. It's a great
If you meal. Have the means, I highly recommend picking one up.
Sweet. On that note, can I drink some beer now?
Sure.
Okay. And now representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Hello, and this week's tasting flight for me, this is Chris from Dallas. I am doing a Abita's Turbo Dog from Abita Beer. out of Abita Springs, Louisiana. Their website is www.abita.com. The style of the beer is an English brown ale, has an ABV of 5.6. The ingredients for this beer are the beer is brewed with a Willamette hops and a combination of British pale, crystal, and chocolate malts.
Chocolate.
Interesting note, it's founded in 1986. The brewery is located about 30 miles north of Louisiana. So the rate beer rating on this beer is a 64 out of 100, and the Beer Advocate users rated it with a B, with the Alstrom Brothers giving it a B+.
I like their new website, by the way.
Abita's?
Yes.
Really?
I do.
What do you like about their website?
It's very nice. It's clean. I like the
They
the
have
color.
Food pairings right there on the front.
It's just very, very cool.
Okay, why don't you talk about the website?
It is nice looking.
While I pour me some beer.
There's actually a little spot on the website that says, tell us what you think of our new site. And you probably already said this, but it's abita.com. ABITA.com.
Nice. So I'm pouring the beer, and I'm taking a look at it. This beer pours with a really, really big head. I'm getting about three fingers or so, you know, with just a standard pour. I actually got to wait a minute and let it settle a little bit so I can pour the rest of my 12-ounce glass or 12-ounce bottle in there. Mm. It's got a nice fluffy head. Sticks around a little bit. Doesn't dissipate too quickly. Got that that root beer float head that I kind of like.
It's like it.
Taking a whiff. Getting lots of nutty and bready notes. The color, it's really dark. It's a lot darker than the Rogue was. Can't hardly see through it all. There's a little bit of redness in there, a little bit of brown, but for the most part, it's a pretty dark dark color.
Almost like a stout.
Was that
not quite. It's not black and you know, not see-through like a stout is. There's still a little bit of clarity to it, but it's definitely dark.
Was it a twist off
roasted
pop off?
You know, I always pop them off. Actually, it was a pop off. It's not a twist off.
Because okay. They mentioned that there's a little news thing on their website saying that there's a new pry off crown keeps Abita beer fresher. We go on to talk a little bit about
maybe
that a pop off top is better than a twist off top.
Well, maybe they used to do twist offs. So again, on the aroma, I'm getting lots of roasted, maybe some dark fruit notes, like a fig. I didn't this time. But you do realize, as an employee of the Beer Coasters podcast, the term roasted roastiness, the trademark, belongs to the Beer Coasters, not just to you. Yes.
Yes. You can use it freely. We won't prosecute.
Nor do we have the power to do so.
So, taking a sip of it, I'm getting those same roasted flavors.
Drunk lawyers don't do too much good for us.
Yeah. Rule, that one's for you. I'm getting lots of the roasted flavors, a little bit of sweetness in a sort of like fig fruit flavor.
Figgy fruit.
Look, a little bit of chocolate, not much. It's not bad. It's not quite as, you know, knock you out, like, instant gratification as the hazelnut was, the rogue, but...
Are you getting much coffee or chocolate in there, or no?
A little bit of chocolate, but...
There's a little bit of chocolate aftertaste, but not much. I'm not getting much coffee.
Do they have a flagship beer? Or is it that purple haze
stuff? I was going to say...
They have the purple haze. I don't know if that's their flagship beer. Is that like a malt?
Or like a malternative beverage or something?
That's the one I see most of, is the Purple Haze and the Turbo Dog.
Yeah, I see the Turbo Dog quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It's good, though. It's a good, solid beer. I mean, it's not bad by any means. There's no bad tastes coming through. The mouthfeel has sort of a medium carbonation to it. Not too carbonated, not too smooth, but decent. Overall, I think it's pretty good. A little bit of toffee in the taste now that it's warming up just a little bit. I was trying to think if I was going to pair this with something, and I don't know.
They have actually a little, they were in Williams-Sonoma magazine, and it's preserving the culinary traditions of New Orleans, and they actually have a Bita beer with some kind of traditional New Orleans cooking. Which is good.
Yeah, I think, but I don't know if I'd go, you know, a lot of New Orleans cooking, like if you were going to go with a jambalaya, it'd be kind of spicy. I think I'd more stick to like a gumbo more than I would a jambalaya, because I think a spicy jambalaya would be a little bit too much to overpower this beer. Yeah. But I think a gumbo, a nice meaty gumbo would be good with this. Yeah.
They mentioned some of the smoked sausages that would go well with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that would go really well with this.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Beer and food.
All I've had is beer for breakfast, so now I'm drooling.
So, I'm going to just keep on continuing to drink this. Mike, you want to open up yours now?
Sure, but I want some intro music first.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Always better to have intro music. Okay. For my tasting flight today, I'm doing Brooklyn Brewery's Brown Ale. It's
Brooklyn.
From Brooklyn Brewery. Their website is www.brooklynbrewery.com.
Where are Brooklyn. They
from? They started in 1987, and now is the first successful commercial brewery in New York City since Schaefer and Rheingold closed their doors in 1976. That's pretty good. The ABV on this beer is 5.6, and once again, for me, the IBU was not available. The ingredients is, they use British two-row malts, Belgian aromatic malts, and American roasted malts. For hops, they use Willamette, Cascade, and American Fuggle, not Fraggle. Interesting note about...
Fugly.
Interesting note about Brooklyn Brewery is Milton Glaser designed their logo and company identity. If you don't know who he is, he was best known for the I Love New York logo, which I thought was kind of interesting. Nice. Rate Beer rates this beer 83 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate it a B, and the Allstrom Brothers a B-. And I'm going to open it. right now.
While you're opening it up, something interesting that I read on their website was the fact that this this particular beer, the Brooklyn Brown Ale, was actually started as a holiday specialty beer. And I guess it was so popular that now it's one of their most popular year-round beers. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's cool. And, you know, if they do a limited release or if they test a particular style that it kind of grows into in a year-round. Because it's always nice to know you can get some of those at any time. Well, there's no surprise in the color of this beer. It's brown. Very clear, dark brown. Good root beer style head, which is always nice. I would say about two fingers-ish. It's got a tan head.
Pretty dark.
It's definitely a tanner head. Similar to the Rogue. Well, I had in my notes that the head was dissipating rather quickly, but this one's hanging around. So on second time around, this one's
pretty nice.
Kind of retaining its head pretty well. I'm going to take a sip. Even though I was supposed to tell you about the aroma. So, it's definitely the roasted malt and the chocolate is there. It's the hops you can smell, but it's faint. A little more hops than your average brown for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting because overall this week, you know, with the brown ales that we've sampled so far, the Rogue and mine, hops haven't really been a factor at all.
Yeah.
Now, yours uses those Cascade hops, which tend to be a little more aromatic than most. So I think maybe that's why you're getting those coming through.
Yeah, it's almost like someone like stuck a grapefruit on the grill. You know, it's got that really kind of charred, but you can smell the grapefruit from the hops, you know, from that Cascade hop. A little bit. It's faint, but it's there.
That sounds really good.
Little
grilled grapefruit. That's an idea.
Yeah, we have to try that. Mm-hmm. Can we trademark that too? It's got a hint of molasses, maybe. Little cocoa, roastiness. It's got a little bit of hops on the back end, like a earthy kind of hops, and that's probably from the Fugel hops. They tend to be a little more earthy and less sweet than like a Kent Goldings or something like that. I'm just blasting beer knowledge on your butts. Take that! It's got a medium to full mouthfeel. It's good. Carbonation, I would say a little more than the Rogue for sure. It's got a sweet... It's weird because I want to say like sweet, thick, hoppy. Which I don't know if that necessarily goes together, but that's how it finishes. It's good.
So Mike, if you were going to pair this with anything, what would you pair it with?
If I was going to pair this with anything, I'd be just a good old-fashioned burger or even better, like old-school like Yankee pot roast.
I could see a good brown ale going really well with a burger and a pot roast.
Yeah.
Pot roast sounds really
pot roast right with all the boiled vegetables.
All this stuff you guys have been talking about, man. I'm the last And you guys talk about all this great beer and food.
Well, why don't you drink some beer then?
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okay, out here in the west, this is Toby. My tasting flight is Lost Coast Brewing Company's Downtown Brown. The Lost Coast Brewing Company is from Eureka, California. Interesting note, in 1986, Barbara Groom and Wendy Pound, that's right, two women, began home brewing. And then by 1989, they had opened up Lost Coast Brewing Company in Eureka. Their website is www.lostcoast.com.
Righteous
Beer. The Downtown Brown. I would say the Downtown Brown next to the Indica is their flagship beers. And I love the labels. The artwork is awesome. It's very Picasso-esque, kind of.
Yeah.
Especially the Downtown Brown.
Like a Picasso-esque with a SoCal style.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and the artist who did this, I was searching and trying to find some information on this guy. And I know I found some a couple years back, but I can't find it anymore. If you can find information about this artist, I know he's an actual, you know, he's got a lot of his own original artwork. I'm pretty sure he has a website, but I can't find anything about him. But if you can, it's pretty cool artwork.
It's perfect for the listeners anyway, to submit downtown... Backwash. Perfect.
Yep.
Yeah, please.
Find it.
I want to say, for the, help us. I want to say one thing about the fact that this brewery was founded by two women. Women that are into beer. Yeah, totally hot.
Yes.
Totally.
And once again, Toby, you are a lucky man.
Thank you.
I can't wait for
I'm actually pouring this.
As great as mine and Mike's wives are, because
we have good women. Great. Don't get us wrong; they just fantastic. Not into beer as much. That's all.
They're just not into beer.
The style, of course, is English brown ale. The ABV is 5%. I couldn't find any information on the IBUs. You can find these in 6-packs and on draft year round. And the ingredients is it's lightly hopped with a hint of roasted and crystal malts. And Rate Beer gave this a 73 out of 100. And Beer Advocate users gave it a B. And the Alstrom Brothers have also given it a B. Mm. Now, I've poured this into my pint glass. And looking at it, it's actually kind of disappointing. I've got almost no head. I've got a nice halo around the side, a little bit of head. But in the middle, there's none. The body is clear. It's a kind of a ruby color. It looks pretty, but as far as the head goes, it's none, pretty much.
Wow, man. I'm looking at it, and it looks like it's already... I mean, the head's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get that little that's interesting. Ring around the collar action. That's about it.
For the aroma, I'm getting a little bit of maltiness, some toasted caramel. It's kind of sweet off the bat. Maybe some honey or some brown sugar, maybe.
How can people listen in?
It's actually really sweet. I don't smell any kind of hoppiness at all.
How could people listen into these flavors and these words like not be tempted to try a beer? Come on, guys. Pick up a craft
especially
beer.
The hazelnut brown.
This doesn't sound it's good to you. Caramel, feel. Malty, sweetness, hazelnut.
I let this, roasted I roastiness. Let this one warm up a little bit. It's cold. It's probably about between 50 and 55 right now. The last time I tried this, it was probably a little colder. But now that it's a little warmed up, I'm getting a lot more sweetness to it. It's not very bitter. It's kind of dry, but I'm definitely getting some sweetness, kind of caramely notes in there.
Yeah,
it's pretty nutty, too.
Beer Advocate recommends that the browns be served like 40 to 45. I honestly think that that's a little cold.
I think
a 50 to 55 is a little bit better because... Yeah. Because browns do have a good, like, that roasty flavor and the chocolate and stuff that you're really not going to get so much when it's colder. As it warms up a little bit, you're going to get a little bit more of that flavor. And I honestly think that, I think that's tagged wrong. I think 40 to 45 is too cold. I think 50 to 55 is a better target point.
All three beer coasters agree.
Real quick.
Brown ales are served better warm.
Real quick about the Lost Coast, the Downtown Brown. A memory I have of this, the first time I had it, I was actually in just outside of a campground in Northern California. The campground is called Standish Hickey. And right across the street was this little market, and it's just, it looks like a log cabin, this little market. And the wife and I go in there. We're looking for beer to take back to the campground. And in the cooler, they had this Downtown Brown. And I was like, wow, that looks really good. And plus, I'm a fan of brown ale. So we grabbed a six-pack, and we asked the lady at the front, can we drink this out front? Because they had a picnic table out front. We sat out front in the redwoods alongside this two-lane highway, and we're drinking this Downtown Brown, and it was superb. Yes. I remember just loving it. It's just straight out of the bottle. You know, it was great.
I get so jealous about listening to your travels all the time. It's great. I love the fact that you've had the opportunity to do that, but I'm extremely jealous.
There's just something to be said about that whole sense memory thing where you have a particular something that kind of sparks a memory, or to actually have a particular beer at a particular moment in time.
I was reading about that not too long ago. And one of the things that I found really interesting about what I was reading is it really goes back to artistry and the concept of art as a whole, and how, you know, painters or filmmakers or musicians will create certain sounds, visuals, or whatever to trigger memories in people. You know, that's sort of what art is all about, that you create, you try to trigger certain things in people. It's a very manipulative thing, you know. A lot of people won't say that, but art in general is a very manipulative thing. Absolutely. And that's what I find so great about craft beer and the process of creating a good craft beer and a good craft beer recipe is the fact that you really try to trigger those memories in people. And what makes craft beer an art over, say, something like wine, where wine is you get the grapes, you ferment them, you don't add anything to them. They are what they are. Not saying that there's not a good thing about the purity of wine, but that's what makes craft beer different from wine, is the fact that there's an artistry involved in creating a good wine. Or, sorry, good craft beer.
We'll have to tag this brown ale / wine bashing show. Would you pair
which
this
I don't
with
want
any
it to be because
kind of food?
Wine. Because I do like good wine, and I'm not saying wine is a bad thing. I'm just saying that obviously I'm doing a beer podcast, so I prefer beer over wine, and I do appreciate the concept of a good wine and a good, you know, I know that there's some artistry that goes into creating a good wine, but for the most part, you know, creating a good craft beer, there's a lot more thought that goes into how it's created, the recipe of creating a good wine or beer. God,
speaking of more. There's so many different ingredients and different out of the box thinking that you can do with beer as opposed to wine. I mean, wine's pretty much straightforward. You got grapes, and
that's it.
You know, and I know that there's the different types of soil and there's a different, you know, climates and all that stuff that can really affect the flavor and then of course the aging and in the different types of barrels and stuff like that that really bring the certain, you know.
But you're much more dependent on what the base ingredient is, that being grapes, than you are like what your artistic input is.
True. You're kind of at the will of the land almost, you know. It's like, hey, I picked this great spot. I can grow some great grapes. I can make some great wine here. Whereas with beer, I guess it's a little different, you know. You can get the great ingredients, and it's more of the combinations and such. Anyway. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Downtown Brown. That's all right.
This is a beer Downtown podcast, Brown. I need not to wrap a wine it up. Podcast, folks. We apologize for our
all
wine
in all.
Talk.
This Downtown Brown by Lost Coast is a great drink. It's nutty. It's sweet. It's very light on the palate. It's very drinkable. The last bottle that I had was not as good as this one, and I want to say let this one warm up a little bit. I'd say 50 to 55 degrees in a pint glass, or before you pour it into the pint glass, let it warm up to about 50 to 55 degrees. You know, let it out of the fridge for about 15 minutes before you pour it. And it's excellent. Downtown Brown.
Sweet.
It's the treat of the week. Treat of the week. It's the treat of the week. Treat, treat.
AJ Whittle says,
"Love London. Been getting beered up on a boat, now trotting off to Camden Town for more brewskis. If you see my wife, tell her I love her."
Okay, so this is the backwash section where we read back some listener feedback. This one this week comes from Crazy Dave.
Again,
we love Crazy Dave. "I don't think it was such a good idea to interrupt the podcast so abruptly to insert the vocab of the week. Maybe you should have a quick intro. Also, what the f*** is a session beer, and what defines a session?"
So hopefully that was answered earlier in the podcast for you.
It was. I'm pretty sure the beer jargon guy typed in.
Yeah, I think the beer jargon guy defined what the session beer was earlier this week. As far as the abruptness of the entering the
I like it.
The beer jargon. Yeah, we've gotten mixed reactions on it. Let us know how you feel one way or the other. Backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. I'm curious what people thought. That was my idea to sort of put it in the middle there, and I did it, and I just, you know, curious what people think. Some people like it, some people don't.
We just read Crazy Dave's thing because, you know, we just wanted to humor him, but, you know, we don't really care what he thinks.
That's not true.
Everybody else, let's hear what you have to say.
He's a wine drinker, and yes. He's a wine drinker, and we've already discussed what we think of wine drinkers.
I mean, the guy lives in Temecula, California. What do you expect?
Love you, Dave.
No, I haven't heard, unfortunately, I haven't heard last week's episode yet because we're recording so close together this week. So I'll have to listen to myself not listen to myself, but, well, I will be listening to myself among the other beer.
You never listen to yourself.
But I'll listen and I'll have to come up with an opinion myself. So I'm not really sure how good or bad it sounds.
We're just joking about Crazy Dave. We value his input. In fact, in a couple weeks, he'll be out. He'll be on the show
Crazy Dave as a guest commentator. He will be Beer Coaster Crazy Dave.
Yeah.
He actually does have a good sense and feel for craft beer. Just this Memorial Day weekend, I mean, he had a pony keg of some Stone IPA, and he had a growler of Double Bastard, so I do respect his opinion.
Yes.
He knows
he
some good beers.
He boiled sausages in Arrogant Bastard. I mean, come on.
Oh, that's right.
He's one of us.
I actually got that.
Boiled sausage.
I'm going to give a, I want to give a shout out to Crazy Dave.
All the way over to the craft beer side.
All right.
Sweet. I think that's time for last call.
All right.
Yeah. Damn.
I got to get my order in.
All right, everybody. Last call.
Welcome to Last Call. I would like to start off the Last Call section with our pint ratings. Today, we did the Rogue's Hazelnut Nectar Brown. I want to give it... I'm actually only going to give it 4 pints. I thought it was great. It was a little light. I loved all the nuttiness. I loved the hazelnut. I may have drank it too fast, but I thought it was good. I thought it was great. Great session beer. I could sit down. I could actually have 2 of those 22s easily. Great drinkability. As far as the Downtown Brown goes, the Lost Coast, I might be a little biased to this. I'm going with 5 pints. 5 out of 5.
Wow.
I mean, it's... Yeah.
Surprise!
This is near and dear to my heart. I really like it. And having it today and drinking it at the right temperature, I believe between 50 and 55 degrees in a pint glass, it was superb. I mean, it's very drinkable. It's got great nuttiness, great caramel malts, just all around a great, well-balanced brown. So I'm going with all the way, man. 5 pints on that bad boy.
Nice. For me, with the Rogue, I'm actually flipped with you. The Rogue Hazelnut Brown Nectar was one of the best examples I've ever seen. Today was actually the first time I've tried it, and I loved it. It, no question, 5 pints for me. It was awesome. I really liked that beer a lot. So I definitely want to go with 5 pints. The Abita was a little less impressive. Still a pretty good, solid beer. I'm going to give it 3.5 pints. It's a good, solid brown. It's not outstanding, but it's good. And that's kind of where I sit on it. I loved the Rogue, the Hazelnut Brown. From the moment that I cracked it open to the last sip, I do agree that it should be served at about a 50 to 55. And I think, like I said before, with the recommendation of it being 40 to 45, I don't necessarily agree with that. I really think a 50 to 55, I think the browns really start to shine once it warms up just a little bit. There's definitely more complexity there than you would have in a pale ale. The hops aren't nearly as overpowering. Those malts just tend to shine a little bit more at a little bit warmer temperature. So I'm happy with the Rogue.
My pint ratings for the Rogue Hazelnut Brown, Toby, you did drink it too fast, because if you let this sit and you let this brown ale warm up, the aroma changes, the taste changes, hazelnut just shines through when this beer warms up, and I'm giving it 5 pints, no question. But you gotta let it warm up. If brown ales in general, I think that we agree, need to be served warmer, like you said. Hazelnut definitely shines through on this. But we didn't say shine through enough. I'm going to say it again. Hazelnut shines through.
Shine through.
On the Brooklyn Brown, I give it 4. It's a great brown ale. And if we weren't reviewing Rogue before, I may have even rated it higher, but it's going to be 4 pints. If I'm a little biased because of the ones we picked, and so be it. If we have to reevaluate in a different show, then we'll do that, but I'll give it a solid 4. It's a great brown ale. It's definitely got a little more hop character, which definitely scores some extra points in my opinion.
Definitely.
All right.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Save a bottle for me.
Definitely.
I want to check that stuff
out.
We'd also like you to check out rogue.com, because that was our fermentation conversation today. ROGUE.com. Also, lostcoast.com, where we have the Downtown Brown.
You can,
among other great beers by 2 female brewmasters and owners.
And for my beer, you can check out www.abita.com. That's ABITA, to check out their Turbo Dog and their selection of beers there.
And mine is brooklynbrewery.com.
And along the lines of what Mike was talking about today in his Hop Topics, the whole beer and fine dining, if you're in Las Vegas and you're into the whole beer pairing with your food, you gotta check out Rosemary's. It's rosemarysrestaurant.com. It doesn't look like much from the outside. It's just in this plain strip mall. But I guarantee you'll enjoy every second of it when you're there. The food is excellent. They do beer pairings. They do wine pairings. They've got some interesting beers on tap, interesting beers in the bottle, lots of Belgian ales. It's excellent. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Beer Coasters Pod is our Twitter account. And you can follow me also individually. I am Beer Coaster Toby.
And I am Chris BCP, because Beer Coaster Chris just wouldn't fit. So that's Chris Beer Coasters Podcast. So Chris BCP on Twitter.
And I don't have a Twitter account as a beer coaster, but I will do that. And I won't tell you what it is, because I don't want everybody to snag it before I get my hands on it. So next episode, I'll give you my individual Twitter to follow.
Cool. And you can also find us on Facebook. Just search for Beer Coasters Podcast.
Sweet.
And you can also email us at Beer Coasters. I am Toby at BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
I'm Chris at BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
I am Mike at BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
And if you're looking to send us any sort of backwash, which we really would appreciate, you can email us at backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. You can leave us audio backwash, which nobody's done yet, but I'm really looking forward to, because you'll get played on the show. So you can leave us audio backwash at 316-221-6846. Or you can also post comments directly on the website for each episode. There's a little comments button down at the bottom, and you can leave comments there.
Yes. And on that web, the website that you can leave comments is beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also subscribe to us in iTunes. Search for Beer Coasters. You'll find us there. And check the website on Monday or earlier for the next time on Beer Coasters.
Don't forget to tell your friends, tell your friends' friends. Okay. Tell anybody that you know would be interested in craft beer. And we thank you so much for listening. It's a pleasure doing this. We love drinking beer and talking about beer. And if you're listening and you're enjoying it, that's awesome. And always, always, I can't stress this enough, support your local brewery and drink local.
Nice. I want to end this with a quote from Friar Tuck from Robin Hood. And it says, "This is grain, which any fool can eat, but for which the Lord intended a more divine means of consumption, beer." That's it for us at Beer Coasters. Cheers.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters. Podcast with us next week.